I think that worked. That's working. Okay, I don't know, Stengel, would you want to go through the side-by-side quickly?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd be happy to do so. I might turn it over to Matt Gehring from House Research as we get along into the House provisions. He's probably a bit more familiar with them than I am. But starting with Section 1, it's identical in both bills, and that was the bill that was originally introduced in the Senate, and I think probably also in the House, and that removes the date provision on the back of a return absentee ballot. And then we move along into the House language in Section 2. That includes the prohibited activities of a political party, and that's that provision that says that political parties can't impose, threaten, fines, those sorts of things to prevent an individual from filing as a candidate. The next Section 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12... Let's see, 13, 14, 15, and 16, thanks, Matt, are all having to do with moving the primary to June. 17 moves the timing of the nomination of presidential electors, and Section 18 is the effective date.
That's it, right, Council?
Yes.
I do have are there any questions on it? I do have one question. We have one issue here. The issue is there was some concern about Section 2 and the prohibited activities. Could be some confusion as to what that would, how that would impact political parties and what it would do to their rights to run their party as they see fit and removing somebody from the party. And Council, can you help explain that a little bit further? I'll give this one to you.
Mr. Chair and members, this Section 2, as you stated, is just a prohibition on political parties using fines, sanctions, or other penalties, or threatens fines, sanctions, or other penalties to prohibit a person as a means to prohibit them from filing as a candidate for office. This was an amendment that was offered on the floor by Representative Winkler, and I maybe would defer to the conferees to talk about the, you know, whether it's a good policy idea or not.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Though I didn't offer it, I think I can speak pretty well for the author here and in the sense of the House in passing it. I think it passed. Representative Sanders,
mm-hmm.
on
yes.
a, but it did I think it just passed on a voice vote. I don't think
it was roll called.
It was
passed bipartisanly.
It did, yeah. It okay. passed bipartisanly. And the idea here is, in the same section of statute, which I'm looking at right now, there's already a subdivision that says you can't basically reward or promise to reward someone for running or refraining from running. So this would be a complement to that. Saying, well, if it's okay for us to say you can't bribe someone into either running for office or not running for office, then maybe the opposite should be true, that you can't also punish them for doing that. So that's really the idea about it. Seemed a good idea to us. And I realize it's not in the Senate bill, but it did pass full vote, I'm told.
I'm fairly agnostic to it, but it was brought to my attention that there may have been some confusion regarding the rights of the party and kicking someone out of a party can be completely separated from the issue of filing for office. So being part of the party or filing from office. Ms. Stengel, can you, you add these comments?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I think the question was, can a political party ask someone to leave the party for whatever reason, would this provision allow that? And I think it depends on the situation. If the party is asking a person to leave as a way to get them to not run, I think this provision would apply. If you could totally separate that out and say, for whatever reasons that have nothing to do with you running for office, we're kicking you out of the party. I think sometimes that's a blurry line, and it could get messy in some situations.
Well,
Representative Semien.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I guess I do see that. You know, it's kind of a right of association, and any political party should have the right to police who its members are. It seems to me that that idea could be cured or solved if we said on line 2.26, it would read, through imposition or threatened imposition of any fine, comma, sanction, comma, or other monetary penalty. Because I agree with you, if the penalty is you're out of the party, I don't know that we want to be policing that. But if it's just you can't punish someone financially, then that might do it. I'm seeing nods no from Senator Bonhoff. But
Senator Bonhoff.
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess I like this section and the idea that that the parties can police who's in their party actually seems antithesis to me of what it is to be a democracy. I choose to be a Democrat. I didn't ask for acceptance into that party. I'm a Democrat because I say so. And so I think this is an appropriate statement. I think just like we shouldn't reward, we should also not have penalties. Filing for office is something that, again, is inherent to the liberty of, you know, obviously you have to, in order to be ultimately on the ballot, you have to win the votes of a particular party to have that party's, you know, name next to you. But again, I would not like to put up barriers between citizens and their ability to be on the ballot before the public.
Sure. Representative Simon, if I could ask you, so your amendment was just to add monetary?
Well, I was just trying to come up with an idea on the fly that might address the
Mr.
concern
Chair?
About other associational penalties that aren't financial.
I was going to say, I think if you add monetary penalty, isn't that the same as a fine? Or are there other monetary penalties that would be different than fine versus
right.
just crossing off penalty if you don't want it there?
Right. Mr. Sure. Chair, Senator Wolf, yeah. I suppose we could say through imposition or threatened imposition of any fine or sanction and just leave off penalty. I suppose that's one way to do it.
Would that be an amendment you want to offer to this?
Sure.
Okay. So, it's clear. I mean, I don't disagree with the section, but it was brought to my attention. It could cause some confusion, and we want to make sure that we don't do that. Yes, Senator Bonhoff.
You
going to help me out with procedure, please?
No, Mr. Chair, I'm not. I'm still going to raise, do we really need to amend the section? It seems to me we don't want penalties, we don't want sanctions, and we don't want fines. So I don't see a need to change the language that the House adopted. I prefer the House language, so that would be my – I would move to accept the House language. But I know there's an amendment before us, I believe, is
– Well, not
no,
really.
I haven't moved
okay.
it yet.
No, no.
Okay.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
I don't know that we – I am sensitive to the concern. I think that we don't want to be overly policing political parties. I'm not convinced that this language would do that. I feel that the language as is pretty solid, though I understand the theoretical concern. You know, we can always come back and amend it if there's a problem. That's always our fail-safe, I guess. So.
Right. Okay. Well, Senator Bonhoff, I would agree, and I'm going to admit some ignorance here. Should we ask for anybody out in the audience to testify to these pieces before we move to adopt or remove?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
I can't see you.
Beth Fraser with the Office of the Secretary of State. My concern about this proposal isn't actually about the substance, but about the placement. That this really belongs in the Fair Campaign Practices Act, which is where parallel provisions are. 204B is kind of a general chapter related to where polling places are, when they're set, election judges, all kinds of election administration, and this is campaign practices. So I would recommend changing this to someplace in 211B, as in boy, which is the Fair Campaign Practices chapter.
Thank you, Ms. Fraser. Yeah, Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I forgot to mention that. Thank you, Ms. Fraser. In fact, I talked about it with Mr. Gehring, and my understanding is we can just, I think if we wanted to do this, the motion would be just to put it in that chapter, and then the sort of precise way could be left to staff. I think that's permissible, isn't it, Mr. Gehring? We wouldn't have to find an exact place for it in Chapter 211B. We could just
tell you the place.
Oh, you can. Okay, great.
Mr. Gehring?
Mr. Chair and members, I think the appropriate place would be to, instead of coding this in 204B04, would be to create a new subdivision 1A in Section 211B.10.
211B?
.10.
110. It'd be a new subdivision, you said?
It'd be a new subdivision 1A, and that's the section of statute that Representative Simon referenced earlier that already has the prohibition on providing a reward to someone related to their candidacy.
Okay, so I've got a note of that. First, any more discussion regarding that section? Representative Sanders, did you have any thoughts on that? Or
no.
No, I'm okay. Mr. Chair, I'm fine with that, and if we want to move to a new section, that's
all right.
Fine.
And how would we make that motion then? How would we procedurally do this? Ms. Stengel.
I believe the motion would be on line 2.23 of the House language. Delete 204B.04 and insert 211B.10. And on line 2.25, delete 4 and insert 1A.
Okay. So does everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Somebody want to make that motion?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Right. So, next.
So, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Bonhoff.
I move to accept the House language on that measure.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, so that's accepted. Okay. All right. Next section, 3 through 16 and Section 18, our favorite piece that has caused us the pleasure of gathering tonight for most of us unhappily. But Senator Wolf, did you want to make any discussion on that piece? I mean, on Section 3 through 16, 18.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Sanders.
I do. The underlying bill was my bill in the House, and I certainly support the June primary. I think moving primary earlier in the season is good for our state, is good for the voters of our state. I think that it's very important to have that be the emphasis when we're looking at when our primary should be. There's a whole host of reasons why I believe that. That we don't need to necessarily get into tonight, but I will move that we delete sections or not adopt sections 3 through 16 for the purposes of this conference committee, and I hope that those that support the issue, if we're all blessed to be back here next session, will take this up and pick up the mantle again, because I do think that it is a very important issue for our state and our voters, but I will make that motion at this time.
Just a comment on that. Representative Sanders, I respect that, and I don't disagree. The issue with the Senate body was process and having not been vetted, for better or for worse, good or bad. It can be a fairly lengthy piece. It involves a lot of things, and the Senate body hadn't heard it. Leave it at that. And I would, someone wants, so you've moved that, Representative Sanders moves that we do not adopt Section 3 through 16 and Section 18 for the June primary. All in favor?
Aye. No discussion? Discussion?
Oh, did you want to discuss? I'm sorry.
Discussion. Thank you. Thank you, Mr.
Further
Chair.
Discussion.
Just on the record, what a disappointment it is to have to move that, and I appreciate your comments, Representative Sanders, and if we are blessed to be back here, and it is a blessing to be here, and so I appreciate you saying that because it is such an honor and a privilege to be here. If we are in that place, then I, for one, will be the strongest champion, and I take some responsibility for not insisting that we adhere to a more formal process, and if I had done that, then perhaps we wouldn't be sitting here. So there's some regret with that, but nonetheless, I still am an optimist in that I will be looking between now and the end of session if there's another way. And it won't be on this bill. It will not be on this bill, but perhaps there is a vehicle that may just be the perfect partner for the June primary. But if not, it will be next year.
Senator Bonhoff, I agree. If we are blessed to be back here, I echo those sentiments. I would gladly pick this piece up and run it through the committee process and get it done. But all right, any other discussion on that, on those sections?
Mr. Chair, just
yes, quick comment. Simon.
So I was going to say, I'll say something now which I don't think I'll get a chance to say on the House floor, so forgive me, just for the historical record,
sure.
Which is, I know there's some concern among members, particularly but not only rural members, about an earlier primary, particularly with our legislative schedule, somehow being an invitation for more primaries. And the reasoning goes that we're stuck in here most years until May. This year is a probable exception, but we're stuck here till May, and that will create an opportunity for people to primary candidates who are sitting legislators because they'll be sitting here and they're barnstorming the district while the rest of us are in St. Paul. Well, my first response to that is when you're in the legislature, you're also in the news more, particularly in the rural areas. So people are reading about you and seeing you and hearing about what you're doing more. But secondly, I took a look at Iowa over the weekend. I guess that tells you something about my weekend. I was looking at Iowa, and they have a June primary, and theirs is in the first week of June, as opposed to this proposal, which was third week in June, and theirs is in the first week in June. So I went on the Secretary of State's website, and I discovered that in 2010, and they have a similar set legislative schedule to ours. In fact, I think they're still there, and they're about ready to wrap up as well, and they came in January. And in Iowa in 2010, and admittedly I didn't go back further than 2010, but in 2010 there were zero Senate incumbents of either party who had a primary, even though they're there till the late spring, and they have a June primary. In the House, there were six. But you know what the percentages were of the incumbents who were challenged? 73%, 86%, 88%, 75%, 76%, and 82%. So the low was 73, the high was 88. Those are kind of joke primaries. Now, I'm not saying it's not possible. It is possible. And theoretically, you know, it could happen. But I think the Iowa experience is instructive that we're not going to see a floodgate of savvy candidates moving into primary Democrat or primary Republican. I just don't think it's likely to happen. Possible, yes, not likely. So I'll never get to say that this year, at least on the House floor. So I wanted to say it now.
Representative Simon, repeat, if we're blessed to be back, we will get this done in the next session, 8 months from now. Oof. So Representative Sanders renews his motion to not adopt Sections 3 through 16. We will leave Section 18. That's the effective date for the... Right.
14.
Okay. All right.
For the record, I want to make sure Section 17 is adopted.
Okay.
Yes. So my motion was just to not adopt the House language 3 through 16.
Right. Correct. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Motion is adopted. Okay.
Mr. Chair, we'll make the motion then if we need to adopt Section 17 of the House language, and then Section 18 if staff agrees that the effective date is correct.
Ms. Stengel?
I just want to make sure the effective date is correct.
Mr. Chair, I was under the impression that we wanted immediate effective date, I think.
Maybe Beth Fraser might shed some light on that.
Mr. Chair and members, the first section has its own effective date, so that's fine. So the only other remaining section, Section 17, You should either have an immediate effective date, or the default effective date will be August 1st, which will also work because the 71st day is late August. So either having an effective date or not, either one will work.
So we can accept Section 17 and just leave it as is, and then we do not need to adopt Section 18. Correct? Okay. So Representative Sanders renews his motion to adopt House language of in Section 17. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Adopted Section 17. So now do we have to get rid of Section 18 since we don't need it?
Yeah.
Oh, what do we do? Okay. We had to move. We also, somebody has to make a motion to move Section 1, to adopt Section 1.
So moved.
Representative Sanders moves to adopt Section 1. All in favor? Say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Unless I'm missing something procedurally.
Do we need to get rid of 18?
We need to.
Senator Wolf?
Do we need to get rid of Section 18? Did we do that formally?
Mr. Chair, if we don't adopt it, it just falls off, like it doesn't exist.
Okay.
So we don't need to reject it, but you can if you'd like.
So just to make sure we get.
No, me too. Just checking.
Mr. Chair, I'm just checking with House staff. Mr. Gehring, just to verify, to make sure, should we have an effective date or should we let it fall off? I mean, is it Secretary of State's office testifying? Doesn't matter. Just want to make sure that we're covering our bases here.
Mr. Chair, Representative Sanders, there is an effective date in Section 1 already, so that will, I think, address the Secretary of State's needs. And then the effective date, as we discussed for the Section 17, the presidential electors, that the default would be August 1st. And I believe that 71-day timeline would land like August 27th. So I think it's okay without just leaving the default effective date.
Thank you, Mr. Gehring. I would then say we might as well not clutter up statute and just let it fall off.
Thank you, Representative Sanders. So if I were to review this, we've adopted Section 1. Senate House language, and we've adopted Section 17 for the nomination of presidential electors. In sections, we also adopted Section 2, almost forgot that, political party, and we amended that with the different chapter. All right. Any other discussion? Any other business? If not, I think.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, yes.
So Section 2 previously was effective not for this election cycle, but there's no effective date. Is that right, Mr. Gehring? So it would be effective for this election cycle if you don't adopt an effective date. So I don't know what the intent is, but just to point that out.
That's the political party. Senator Bonoff, you have any thoughts?
I'm sorry. I was looking at a text from Representative Dowd. What was the question?
The question was Section 2 prohibited activities. We adopted it, and we changed we amended it for a different chapter location to 11B. But if we don't adopt an effective date, it becomes effective August 1st. And would that work for this year? Do we want to do that as an attempt?
Section 2? It's only 3 days later than that.
Or do we want to put an effective
Mr. Chair, it might be helpful to put an effective date in there just because that August 1st date would fall right in the middle of the election cycle, and the candidate filing period is going to be
day after enactment. Mr. Chair, I would say the day after enactement should be the effective date.
Ms. Frazier?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Does that seem okay with you?
Mr. Chair, whatever.
Okay, all right. Can we make that motion, Senator Bonoff?
So moved.
Council, did you pick that up?
effective date, final day, after enactment.
I did, Mr. Chair, if I can address you from the other side of the table.
Oh, that's fine. Either side's fine.
And Mr. Chair.
Yes.
The reason I was distracted is Representative Dowd's text was with regard to concern around not being able to take it up tomorrow. And so I just wanted to make sure we remember to say, you wanted to say that for the record, your intention.
Right. Our intention for the record is to talk to rules, take it up on the floor and suspend a rule and allow us to get this signed and enacted for Secretary of State so they can get their administrative ruling, rulemaking completed. That is correct, Ms. Frazier?
Yes, Mr. Chair, we would greatly appreciate that.
Okay. We would appreciate that, too. We wouldn't want to be held responsible for it otherwise. So my intent is I'll check into it with Senate staff, and we'll get that, make sure we can make that motion on the floor. One of you guys, I'm sorry, one of the representatives would be willing to, Representative Sanders. All right. So Representative Sanders will check into that on the floor, make that motion. I'll make the motion tomorrow on the floor. Don't let me forget, though. All right. Any other business before us? Any,
Chair, we all like to get? Did you want to vote on the effective date?
Yes, we would, Ms. Stengel. Okay, when you have that ready?
Yeah, I'm ready, Mr. Chair.
Okay,
thank you. After line 2.28 in the House language, add the phrase, this section is effective the day following final enactment.
So that would mean any such language by political parties, the date would have to be undone.
Up and up.
Okay, so the motion is to amend section 2 with an effective date after the final date of enactment. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion passes. So, any further business? Any further discussion? All right.
Mr. Chair. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine, Ms. Stengel.
Before we leave, we need to adopt the committee report as amended.
Okay.
To make sure it's ready to go.
All right. Somebody want to move that?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
You're moving the adoption of the committee report. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Committee report will be adopted. Any further business? If there's nothing else, then we will adjourn. Thank you very much.
Glad
to have that done.
Me too.
Goodbye.
So, guys, come here for a minute. Have a nice
evening. Yeah, you get some bon off.
Do you want to have some bon off? I've heard from
again. Oh, yeah, I don't know.